inspire me. Thank you. Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, clay, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or proper or fitting for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And for just a little bit, I want to talk to you today about this title, Vessels in the Great House. Vessels in the Great House. Would you help me pray today that God will have his way? God, we need you more than we need anything, more than we need anyone. You are so good to us. Thank you for your love for us. God, speak to our hearts today. Let it be from your heart to our heart. Oh God, let it not be just from our own worldly wisdom, but let it be from your heart. We give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the word of the Lord. In Timothy here, the Apostle Paul is putting forth a concept or an understanding, if you will, of things that are, a type or a reflection upon his abilities to work in our life. And you know, there's been a lot of questions about what this passage really means, exactly what Paul was talking about when he talked about that in a great house there's not just gold and silver vessels, but there's also vessels or containers that are made out of wood and some that are made out of clay. Some of them are to dishonor and some are unto honor. And many have talked about that and argued over whether these gold vessels are vessels that are to honor, those are good and acceptable, and the wood and the clay vessels are unusable. They are the ones that have no purpose and no use at all. And there's different scholars that go back and forth on this. I'm not going to teach about that. I'm not going to get into the depth of that, those questions and those debates, if you will, except to tell you this, that every vessel in the Lord's house is made by him. Not every vessel that's in the Lord's house or in the body of Christ, if you will, not every vessel is being used for honor. Not every vessel is being used in a way that would show its honorability of being a gold or a silver vessel. In every house, he mentions every great house, there are different vessels. There are not just honorable vessels, vessels of silver and gold that are used to hold the drinking liquids and the other fine, wonderful things in the house that are used for comfort or eating or for beauty. It's not just the silver and gold vessels that are needed, but there are some tasks, there are some needs within the house that require different kinds of vessels. In those days, there were vessels that look much different than ours today. Today, if we're going to use up some Kleenex here and then we're going to discard the Kleenex, we do not We don't have a vessel that was made by anybody here, but rather we just go to Home Depot or Walmart and we get a Rubbermaid plastic container, and that's our trash can. We might throw a liner in it, and then we throw our debris, our refuse, our trash in that. That's how we work. But in those days, they didn't have a Walmart. They didn't have a Home Depot. They didn't have Rubbermaid. They didn't have plastic, as it were. They had elements of the earth, if you will, that they took and they transformed them or shaped them from those elements into vessels. The metallic content of a gold vessel is extremely refined, if you will, and is suitable for a very fine purpose, silver as well. But when you're going to throw your trash away, when you're going to throw your refuse away, when you're going to use different elements of hygiene, etc., you don't need a gold or a silver vessel for that, that is fine looking and is meant to be polished and look very well, because some of the tasks, some of the byproducts of living in the great house just simply require a vessel that is a very humble origin. It looks very humble. It's not glittery. It's not polished and beautiful, because that is not what the contents are. That is not what it is being used for. And so I simply just want to say today that in every house there is a need for the beautiful vase that sits on a shelf that holds the flowers. There are needs. There is a need for the beautiful plates, perhaps, or the nice plates that you eat off of. If you were eating off of a plate that was made out of wood and it was scratched and scarred and digs in it, and it had crevices that caught the bacteria and germs, and you can't get them out. It's down in the pores, and you can't get it clean and disinfected and sanitized enough so that when you go to take another bite of more food, if you put it on that plate, you're asking for trouble. So there are some vessels in the house that are made for beauty or for very particular uses having to do with eating, and we want those to be very fine and neat and clean, and we want them to not have a lot of porosity that can cause bacteria to get in. But at the same time, we don't need fine china to use as a wastebasket where we're going to throw the scraps of food away. The fine food goes on the plate, and the scraps, the remains, the refuse of it that's left that is not pretty goes into another vessel. And I believe in every house, silver vessels have a use that are important. In every house, the vessels of wood and clay, as it were, have a purpose in the house to be used. And it is important that we remember that if there's a vessel sitting around too long in a house, being unused because it doesn't have a purpose that can match to a need, if it sits there very long, it eventually moves out of the way and eventually moves out to the garage and eventually makes it into the yard sale. And if it doesn't sell, it now gets up and makes it to the thrift store to be donated, hoping somebody else will have a need in their house that would match the purpose that this vessel can provide. And now this vessel is bought. Same thing happens again. How many times have we gone to a yard sale or a thrift store or perhaps purchased something new in a store and you say, oh, look at that. What's the price? Oh, look at that price. This is going to be wonderful. You take it home. You use it a time or two. And then pretty soon, you don't even mess with it anymore. You put it aside, and it's really neat. It's got some nice bells and whistles on it, but it's kind of complicated, and it's kind of, you know, neat when you use it, but it's a lot of work to put it out and get it up. And, you know, Brother Manny and I are thinking of that tent, huh? Anyways, there's a lot of things that takes a lot of work to put together, but after a while, you've got this little gizmo, this little gadget that you got in your house, and you like it, and you want to keep it, but you're not using it. So after a while, it gets dusty, and then you put it to the back of the cupboard, and then after a while, you take it out of the cupboard, and you say, you know, I'm just going to put it with some of the other things in the garage that I don't use very often. And after a while, it sits there, and then there comes a day where the garage is so full that you can't even, I mean, it's once in a while you can go out to the garage. Well, maybe you've never had a garage like this. I have, too many times. You walk out to the garage, and you're walking through. You're looking for something, and you say, where is that thing? I know it's here somewhere. And you can't find it. So finally, you're about to give it. And then all of a sudden, you open a tote, and you go, oh, wow, what's in this box? Oh, my goodness, I forgot all about that. I forgot I even had that. This thing's been in here for years, and I didn't even remember having it. And you look at it, and you're thinking, oh, wow, this I could use this. And you're right back where you were when you bought it the first time. I could use this. I think it would work. And you put it, bring it back in the house, and it's not long, and it ends right back out in the tote. But there comes a day when you just can't handle it anymore, and you say, we're having a yard sale. We are getting rid of stuff. We've got too much stuff, and we're getting rid of stuff because it's just cluttering up our lives. And so you know what we do? We have the yard sale, whatever doesn't sell. It goes to the thrift store. Some of it goes to the trash, whatever it needs. And then the next time we're in the store, and we see that neat gizmo or that neat gadget. Oh, wow, look at that thing. It's a juicer. Now, I have a juicer at home, but this juicer is nice. This juicer actually transforms my fruit or my vegetables. It looks to me like, according to what I read on the box, that it has the power to not only juice it, but to basically turn that juice into a powerhouse that's going to cause me to lose weight, cause me to become strong, cause me to never have any diseases, and I'll live to be 930-something years old. It's going to be an amazing juicer. And so the one at home's not good enough. I'm going to buy this one. Well, you know where the end of the life of that juicer is going to be too, don't you? Just like all the other ones that we buy. That's how we are. But vessels in the house, if they don't have a purpose that matches the need, they become unused, and at some point they are of no use, they are in the way, and they have to be discarded. And I believe that what Paul is saying here is, in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, there's not only vessels that are in the limelight, but there's also some vessels of wood. Oh, they might be more humble. They're not as showy and shiny and glittery and polished. But they're vessels of wood, and they match a need in the house. And there's some vessels of clay that match the need, and they have a purpose to accomplish things in the house that the silver and the gold would not be fitting to accomplish. So I think what Paul's saying here is that in a great house, there are many different kinds of vessels. Oh, aren't you glad that the Church of Jesus Christ is not just a church of one race? It's not just a church of one, what we call gender, male or female. It's only two I know of. It's not just a house that's got just one or the other. It's not a house that is particular on whether you've got a certain social status or a certain financial status in life, but rather it's whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I will give it to him. Aren't you glad that this house is full of vessels and they come in all shapes and sizes, all colors. They look different ways. Everybody's different and everyone has a different purpose perhaps. And everybody has a different matching to the need. But everybody is important in the body of Christ. Oh my, you know. I would imagine, I'm going to make a guess here. Maybe it's not this way, but I'm going to make a pretty strong guess that before you came to church today, that you looked in the mirror. Because y'all look so nice. I imagine you did. You looked in the mirror. And when you looked in the mirror to try to get everything just right and you wanted to make sure that you look, you know, decent, I'm going to make a wild guess that you did not go get a chair or a ladder and get up in front of the mirror and hold up your feet and try to make sure that your feet look beautiful for church. Or maybe you did. I don't know. It's doubtful that you looked down and said, oh, my little toe doesn't look as beautiful as it should. I think I need to give my little toe some care so it can be as beautiful. No, you know what you're focused on? You're focused on the things that other people see. You're focused on the things that you see in the mirror. What you see in the mirror is what other people are going to see, and that's what we focus on. And so it's important, and can I tell you, it is so true. Well, I'll use myself. If I walked in here right now, and I hadn't combed my hair, and I came in the way that I woke up, you all would notice. Y'all would notice. You'd say, what's wrong with Pastor? Oh, poor Pastor. He didn't look in the mirror this morning. I feel so embarrassed for him. I feel so bad for him. If he only knew what his hair looked like. Oh, my. That's how you'd be. It's important that we do present ourselves as good as we can. I'm not talking about vanity. There's plenty of that in our spirit that we need to get out of our spirit, but we just want to be presentable. We are representing our family. We're representing God. We're representing to other people, and we don't want people to say, "Wow, oh boy, he should have washed his face this morning. There's things on his face that don't belong there." Can I tell you that it's important that we try to make ourselves presentable? However, I promise you that if I tried to, you know, make sure that, you know, everything's okay, my hair combed and best I can, and I get to church, I promise you that if you looked at me, or if I look at you and everything looks proper, but if your little toe has a broken bone in a little toe. I guess little toes can have a broken bone. I'm sure they can. If your little toe has a broken bone and all of a sudden you're standing, pain gets bad enough, the smile that's on your face says everything's okay. But what you can't see on me is not okay. Can I say that's how the body of Christ is? Sometimes we look and we see the person playing an instrument, the person holding a microphone, singing or preaching. We see somebody that's in the limelight doing something and everybody sees what they're doing. And we say, oh my, look at them. They're so important because they look at how good they look doing whatever God tell them to do. I wish I could sing like that. Oh, I wish I could play like that. Or, oh, I wish I could preach like that. Or, I wish I could whatever. Can I tell you that everybody in the body of Christ is important? Paul looks at that and likens us to the body of Christ as a natural body. If you don't think that your elbow is as important as your brain, try cutting it out and throwing it away. You will find that your elbow is really important. If you don't think that your kneecap is important as your feet are, because after all, we talk about how it's my feet that get me where I'm going. It's my feet that take me there. My feet are able to get me to the places I need to get. Oh, the feet. Oh, the feet. Oh, I wish I were a foot. I'm just a kneecap. Oh, I wish I were a foot, though. Look at the feet. They're always talking about how beautiful the feet are of those. You know, in the Bible, it talks about that. And it's always everything's about the feet, and they never mention the kneecap. Well, let me just tell you, in the body, without a kneecap, the feet aren't going anywhere. You've got to have a kneecap for the feet to be able to go somewhere that people can talk about the feet. And in the body, everybody is important. It takes every member of the body for the body to function normally. That's why when there are surgeries that are done that remove certain organs in our body or certain appendages of our body, things that are part of our body's normal function, the body is affected and it does not operate the same. I have seen people in my life that I admire greatly that have had their leg amputated and they have a prosthetic leg. And I'm telling you, some of them get around so amazing that I just look at them with great admiration and say, that is amazing. But can I say that experiencing life differently, their life has been impacted because they don't have the original leg complete the way it was created. And so now you have something that works very, very well, but it has to work in conjunction with the body. It's no longer just part of the body. And can I say that you and I, so often, if we're not careful, we will get to thinking that I'm not important, just little me, not much I can do in the kingdom. I want to be a vessel that God can use, but what can He use me for? Who am I? How can He use me? In Jeremiah chapter 18 and 1, the word which came to Jeremiah the prophet from the Lord saying, Jeremiah, I want you to rise. I want you to go down to the potter's house. And I want you to hear my words there. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you ahead of time. He said, you go to the potter's house, and there, when you see what the potter's doing, I'm going to talk to you. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and behold, the potter wrought or worked a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It had something wrong with it in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. I'm going to stop right there and say, the potter was working on the potter's wheel. He was making a vessel. The vessel wasn't working out because it
had things in it that it could not, it wasn't working for what he was trying to do.
So he made it another vessel. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Lord, why are you trying to change me? I've always wanted to be some big singer when I was in the world. And now that I'm in the church, it's like you won't let me develop what I really want to be. I wanted to be a singer in the world, and now that I'm in the church, I've given that up, but I still want to be a singer for you, or I want to be a musician for you, or I want to be a speaker for you. I've got something, Lord, in particular that I want to do. And I feel like that everything that's happening to me in my life is pulling me to try to change me to be something different than I want to be. Jeremiah looked and he saw that there was something wrong with the clay that the potter was working with, that it wasn't going to be fitting for the potter to make that clay into a particular vessel. So he started over and he made it again another vessel, but the potter chose what the vessel was going to be. Whatever seemed good to the potter to make it, that's what he made it. In Romans 9 and 20,
Nay, or no, but, O man, who are you that speaks back against God, repliest against God? Shall the thing that's formed, shall the clay that's formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me this? I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to be this. Why did you make me this? Does the thing that is formed say to the one that formed it, why did you make me this? Has not the potter power over the clay? And can from the same lump of clay make one vessel unto honor or limelight or being seen, and to make another unto dishonor, or could I say humility, or a behind the scenes situation? Jeremiah 18 and 5. So after this had happened with Jeremiah, and he went down there and he saw that. So I'm making it again. Then the word of the Lord came to me and said, O house of Israel, speaking through Jeremiah, this was a word to the people of God, his people. If we were to transform it in 2025, the church, the body of Christ. And the word of the Lord came and said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. And he says in verse 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I pronounce turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In other words, he's saying, there are times, Jeremiah, when I threaten to uproot, to tear down, to destroy a nation or a kingdom because they are so evil and wicked. But, Jeremiah, if that nation that I threatened stops doing wrong, I will cancel the destruction that I intended to do it. I am the potter. I can do with the clay as I choose. And then he said, paraphrasing in verse 9, I'm going to paraphrase, there are times that I might promise to hold up and establish a nation or a kingdom. But if that nation does what displeases me and does not obey me, then I will cancel the good that I promised to do to it. And so he goes on and he basically says, tell the people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem, tell them that the Lord says, I'm preparing to bring disaster on you, Israel. Listen, I'm going to warn you. I'm giving you a warning. I'm telling you in advance of the direction that you're heading. I'm planning, making plans to punish you. So every one of you, stop the evil things that you've been doing. Correct the way that you have been living and do what is right. But they just keep saying, we do not care what you say. We will do whatever we want to do. We will continue to behave wickedly and stubbornly. You know, I look back at what Paul said, and I've tried to look at that in my own life as I was trying to somehow gather and compile and understand this message that I felt like God gave to me, so that I would be able to be able to somehow explain it. And I began to think of my own life, and I began to think of the song that we sing that says, "To make me a vessel that you can use, let me be a willing vessel that you can use." The other song, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart. Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, use me. And I thought about these songs and how when I sing these songs and how they stir my heart, they stir my emotions, and they rile something or awaken something in me that says, I want to be used of God. I want God to use me in whatever way He wants to use me. And then I stop and I think about how many times things happen to me in life. Maybe something is taken away from me, and I don't feel like that's what I deserved. Maybe something happens to me and I will no longer ever be able to accomplish the dream or the goal that I wanted to accomplish before. And I wonder how many times that when I look at that and I realize that I'm not going to ever be what I envisioned for myself to be in the kingdom, are there times that now I simply stop and I say there's no use for me in the kingdom? Oh, I wish I could be used. God, I wish I could be used, but unless you turn me into what I want to be, I'll never be able to be used of you. And I begin to think, I wonder how many times that when I look at that, is God trying to say, my child, I'm turning you into what I want you to be, not what you want to be. If you want to be that, then you can be that, but you're going to be on your own. I want you to be used in this way. I know it's not what you want for yourself, but it's what I want for you. And my child, when you sing that you want to be a willing vessel and you want to be a surrendered vessel and you want me to use you, are you trying to get me to make you into what you want to be or what I want to be? I know this is a sobering message, but it was sobering to me when the Lord gave it to me, and I felt like it hit me right between the eyes. And I begin to think about it. And I wonder right now is if you could just take a moment, we could close our eyes and we could begin to think about our own life. I wonder if we are being used of God or if we are actually an unused vessel. And perhaps because we are not happy with the way God has made us, if we are made as a vessel that is to be used behind the scenes, if that's what God is trying to use us for, are we pushing back against Him and saying, Lord, I've been called to be a silver vessel. I've been called to be a gold vessel. But seems like everything you're causing to happen to me in life is just causing me to be like a wood vessel, like a clay vessel, like something that holds the trash, or something that is used to accomplish a task that is not what I wanted. It's not very glorious. It's behind the scenes. Oh, thank God for the precious vessels in the house of God, in the body of Christ, that know how to pick up a toilet brush and clean the toilets. Thank God for a vessel in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, that knows how to vacuum floors, that knows how to repaint the outside, that knows how to clean the windows, that knows how to mop the floors, that knows how whenever they're walking through Walmart and they feel that little nudge and there's somebody there that they don't look like some rich, fine, elite person, but they look like somebody that's broken, somebody that their life is all messed up. Thank God for vessels that say, Lord, you can use me right now to talk to that person. It may not be what I envision, but God, I'll talk to them. And there in an aisle of Walmart or in a grocery store, you can stand there and you can begin to bring hope to a heart that's hurting. Oh, it may not be
from a pulpit. It may not be across the thousands that's watching. It's just you and that person and God. Can I tell you that some of the vessels in the house, in the great house, their jobs are important because everything hinges on it. Oh, today I wonder if there's somebody that would join me in a few moments of prayer and saying, God, I want you to make me what you want me to be. I don't want to just be what I want to be, but I want to be what you want to be. I want you to make me into a vessel that you can use and one that you want to use. Let me not just sit on the shelf unused, to be pushed back and never to be used, and finally to be discarded out of the great house. But God, I want to be used. I don't care how humble the task. I don't care how little it is. I don't care if it's unknown. I don't care if nobody ever knows my name. I want to be used of you in the kingdom. Would you use me, Lord? 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 Here I am. I'm surrendering. I'm on the potter's wheel. However you want to use me, however you want to use me, here I am. Well, I wonder if we could take a few moments and talk to God. If you want to come up to the front, I can pray with you if you'd like. If you want to pray at your seat, whatever you want to do, but let's just get a hold of God in this place. Let's get a hold of God in this place. I feel like He's talking to us, saying, let me use you. The days fly by. The weeks fly by. The months and the years fly by. But I still have a purpose for you. I still have called you to be used in my kingdom. Will you surrender? Will you let me use you? Oh, let's call upon Him. Let's talk to Him.
To you, let me be.
the way he wants me to be used. And you know what I've realized too is that sometimes it's a while before the vessel is really used in a miraculous way. It seems like that sometimes it can just be kind of mundane. And you know, I thought about in the Old Testament, the prophet came to the widow woman's house. While he was outside in the way, she was out there gathering sticks, and he said, "I want you to get me some water." She said, "Okay." Now you got to remember, they were in a famine during this time. So just for her to be willing to go and get him some water was likely a great sacrifice, because water was scarce. And wherever she was getting the water, she might now, if she gives him some of it, now she's got to go get more for herself and her son. So just her going to get the water and being obedient and saying, "Yes, my Lord, I'll go do it." Just her doing that was a sacrifice. But you know what he stopped and he said? He said, "Oh, excuse me. By the way, while you're going to get the water, would you also make a meal? Little cake?" And she told him, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And she said, "Listen, all I have, it's one thing to go get your water, but all I have to eat is just a little bit left of meal in a barrel. And I have just a little bit of oil in a cruse or a little vessel. There's just a little bit of oil left. Just enough oil in that vessel, and just enough meal in the barrel left for me to make a little cake for me and my little bit of bread for me and my son. I'm gathering these sticks to build a fire to make our last meal, and after that, we're just going to have to starve to death." And he said, "Listen, you go make me the meal first, and then you'll be able to make you a meal." At that moment, there were crossroads that she had to choose what to do. And she made the right choice. She went and made him a little cake first and brought him the water. And here's the point I want to make. She went to the barrel, the vessel that was in her house that only had a little bit of meal in it. Now that vessel, that barrel, all it did was hold meal. There was nothing special about it. It just held meal. She would bring more meal and put in there, and the meal would fill up, and she would use out of it just a barrel. And the little cruse of oil, the little vessel, all it did was hold oil, nothing else, nothing special. There were other things in the house. No doubt she probably had a little vase somewhere that had some flowers in it or some things she had picked. And no doubt she had another little nice clay bowl with some little decorations on it when it was made that held the fruit and the things that looked pretty. But there's just a simple little barrel in the corner of the kitchen that has some meal in it, and this little vessel of oil in the cupboard that are so insignificant. But when the prophet prophesied that the barrel of meal would never go empty again, and the cruse of oil would never be empty again until the famine was over, can I tell you that all of a sudden, every day when she walked to that little vessel of oil, God used that vessel to keep on pouring oil out. to keep on pouring, but God still using it to pour oil out. The barrel that was so insignificant now becomes the centerpiece along with the oil. And those two vessels are the important pieces in the story that held the blessings of God for that woman forever. Oh, don't be upset if you're just a barrel that sits in the corner that holds the meal, or if you're just a little insignificant vessel, a little bottle up in the cabinet that holds some oil, because God can use you just like he can a water pot. God can use you just like he can a vessel of silver and gold. It's all about, are we going to be used in the way that God wants us to be used? I don't know how about you, but if he wants me to be used in a humble way, God, use me. Just use me. Oh, is there somebody here that wants to be used of God? Is there somebody here that wants God to use you in your life? Oh, that we could pray, God, use me the way you want to use me. And it's so interesting to me that when we talk about people that have mistreated us, done us dirty, you know what we usually say? Yeah, I tried to help them out, and you know what they did? They used me. So we've got to be ready. If we're going to be used of God, it's however he wants to use us. Well, I don't think he ought to use me that way. I think he ought to treat me different. If he puts us through the fire, he can use us in the fire. If he puts us through the trials of life that don't make sense, he can still use us. Oh, but he took my loved one away. I don't understand it. The timing was wrong. They had so much to offer. They were such a blessing. And he took them away. My loved one. Maybe God, through all of the grief, wants to use you to help somebody else that can't make it through the grief without taking their own life. Who knows? But what you might be used, your trial might help somebody else to get through their trial because of your testimony. Oh, I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God.